it's David James Young here, back for another week of All My Friends Are In Bar Bands. A very, very happy Friday to you. I hope you're doing well. I hope that you voted, or I fucking hope that you are voting tomorrow, if you're listening to this the day it comes out. I hope you are doing everything that you can to kick the bastards out, and also not let the bastards get you down. It's a Friday, and we are back with a brand new episode, and I am super, super excited about this one. Today's guests are the Magic Numbers. Now, for those of you that don't know the band, they are an indie pop quartet comprised of two sets of siblings, Romeo and Michelle and Angela and Sean. They make delightful harmonic indie pop mixed in with a bit of rock and roll, and they've been doing that for over 15 years now in the course of, I want to say, 5 or 6 studio albums. And yeah, I have been such a huge fan ever since I discovered them back in, I want to say, 2005, with their singles Forever Lost and Love Me Like You, which remain two of my favorite songs from that entire decade. And their debut album in particular is an album I hold very, very dear to my heart. So, yeah, I love this band, but alas and alack, it was 9 years in between visits for the band. They last came to Australia in 2010. I saw them at the Metro Theatre there. I was front row for that, and I met Romeo and Michelle afterwards, and it was, yeah, such a trip for 19-year-old me, so I was very, very excited to be there. But yeah, getting to do this was another whole thing entirely. This is a little story about how weirdly dedicated I am to shit that I'm into. So the Magic Numbers announced their tour, and it was going to be the 23rd of March at the Factory Floor in Sydney, and I was just like, great, I'll be there. Then, my local wrestling federation, PWA, shout out to PWA, announced a show on the same night with a huge title fight, and I was so, so conflicted because I really didn't want to miss that, but I also didn't want to miss seeing the Magic Numbers. So here's what my genius brain did. I flew to Brisbane. Literally, I flew to Brisbane for one night and one night only and for one sole reason: to see the Magic Numbers live. Would I do it again? Fucking right I would. Absolutely. Are you kidding me? It was awesome. On top of that, I was able to organize having a chat with them for All My Friends Are In Bar Bands. I was expecting to get maybe a couple of them in, but then when I arrived, all four of them decided to join me at the table, and so everyone gets a say in this episode. And yeah, it gets a bit unruly in parts, and oh, just parts where we're just laughing uncontrollably, but I honestly wouldn't have done it any other way. This was, yeah, such a treat. It made making the trip to Brisbane all the more worth it. And I was, yeah, so, so excited to get to do it. And the show itself was absolutely wonderful. The Triffid in Brisbane is such a great venue. It sounds great. There's just a really awesome vibe there. I really, really dig it. This was recorded in two parts. So we start out in the beer garden of the Triffid, but as we're chatting, we get interrupted twice, once by an old man wanting to get a photo with them, and once by a mother and daughter duo, which we mention later on. So after they get the photos with them, we make a point of going inside the Triffid, where it is much quieter. So in the second part, everything is much, much clearer. We probably should have done that to begin with, but, you know, I was trying to get a bit of ambiance going. Don't blame me. Also, we are just cutting it fine at the end. So, unfortunately, Sean doesn't get to give his best and worst gig experiences. Sean, I'm so, so sorry, mate. Next time you guys come to Australia, which hopefully won't be another 9 fucking years, I'll get your story then. So, we'll make that happen. I promise. Want to give a huge thank you to John Lani over at Footstop Music for helping to set this one up. I actually got to meet him while I was up in Brisbane, and that was really, really cool. So thanks so much, John. I really, really appreciate it. And of course, thank you as always to our tireless engineer, Mr. Adam Buncher, for helping to make this sound the best it possibly can. Bloody love your work, mate. That's just about it. If you would like to get in touch, you can do so by emailing barbandspod@gmail.com, BARBANDSPOD. We are also on Twitter and Facebook at barbandspod, and you can visit allmyfriendsareinbarbands.com. If you like what you hear, please don't forget to rate the podcast over on Apple Podcasts and review it there too. And please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from. We're available on Apple Podcasts, on Stitcher, on Spotify, literally anywhere you get your podcasts from. We really, really appreciate that support. So thank you so, so much for that. If you would like to help spread the word, that is also massively appreciated. Maybe you have a friend who's into the magic numbers, or indeed any guests that we've had on the podcast, please send them my way. I would love for them to check the show out. And if you have a couple of dollars lying around, indeed, even if you only have one, for as little as $1 a month, you can help to support this podcast and me financially, supporting independent Australian music content. And you can do so by becoming a supporter on Patreon, patreon.com/DavidJamesYoung, patreon.com/DavidJamesYoung. All right, perfect. Let's get into it right now. This is our chat with the magic numbers. I'm David James Young, and all my friends are in bar bands. Today, I'd like to introduce you to my friends, the Magic Numbers.
Hello.
Hey. All
right. Please introduce yourselves.
I'm Romeo.
I'm Angela.
Michelle.
Sure.
It's Thursday night, and we're in Brisbane. And
we are.
The Magic Numbers, I believe, are in Brisbane for the first time ever.
Well,
it's the first time playing
our own show.
We've done a festival before.
We did Splendor in the Grass 9 years ago.
Yeah, that's right.
Time flies.
That's the last time we were here.
By the way, if you need dates and actual facts.
Actual facts.
Yeah, yeah. I sort of tend to like make up things as I go along, like
yeah.
You know, false truths and like yeah, embellish. But Ange will let you know that when you know that kind of stuff. She's gonna end up writing the book.
I don't know, memory's going a bit now.
Yeah, you gotta write it all down while you still got the chance.
There's
chair,
only so much shit you can keep in your head.
But yes, it has been 9 years.
Yeah,
nine
wow.
bloody years.
Crazy.
Yes.
Time flies, right?
It does.
It does
yeah. indeed. Whether yes. you're having fun or not.
Yeah, exactly.
It's still fucking moving on. Yeah.
How's it feel to be back after all this time?
Great. Yeah, really good.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, I got in at like 5:30 this morning. And,
yeah, wow.
And yeah, it's been lovely, like wandering yeah. around a little bit and just yeah. looking forward to the shows because we've had great shows here.
Yeah.
All the festivals we've done, side shows, mm-hmm. we've had great ones in Melbourne and Sydney. And we've got friends over here who yeah. have like either moved back to where
yeah.
they came from,
yeah.
Australia, or...
they're all dotted yeah. around as well, so yeah. we're going to hopefully hit yeah. everyone on the way.
Yeah.
Give them a slap on the way.
Yeah. Why the hell are you living here? Come back. No.
It's, bring more friends.
It's more like, you know, they're the smart ones. They know, like, you know, the good life with the,
yeah.
with the good weather, you know.
Mm.
Although it's pretty hot today.
Yeah, man, I ain't made for this weather, man.
Can't be dealing with this every day.
Yeah. No, I'm glad I'm not looking like a lobster, because that would be my normal
well, it's early days.
Position
it's early
in the
days.
Sun.
You never know.
I got here on Monday. I've just been like every hour.
Yeah.
So, you know. I've got the shit down now.
Yeah. You're nailing it. Citizenship's in the mail.
Yeah. I'm keeping my pastiness and I can be in the sun.
That's the perfect middle ground.
I know.
Classic. So I begin these by tracing back the initial interest in music, specifically where it changed from being something that maybe you were watching on TV, listening to on the radio, etc., to being something that was like, this is what I want to do. I want to sing, I want to play instruments, I want to be in a band. And so I figured, considering I have all of you here, I would go via the separate families. So start with you two. So can you tell us about like how music kind of factored into the Sonnet household growing up?
Yeah. Well, our mum sang. So like she would sing in Trinidad and Tobago, like, you know, always around the house. I mean, she was trying, well, she was doing it professionally.
Yeah.
But I didn't know about that side, because as soon as she had me, I kind of was the reason she stopped pursuing it. It was like, oh God, here we go. I'm pregnant with this guy. basically, I just always had my mum singing around the house, and my granny played the piano. And that was really my kind of first love, really, for sort of or desire to try and make music, because she would always get me to go on the piano because she had arthritis in her hands.
Right.
So she couldn't play anymore, really. So she would say, go to the piano and, like, you know, play three white notes and two black notes and one low note, two high notes. So it got me, like, making up little songs for her, which I got the bug really, really early on.
Yeah.
So that was kind of, yeah, through the family, and then playing my uncle's records and stuff. Like, music was just something that was always powerful, like, to me.
What about you, Michelle? Like, was there any particular moments for you growing up?
Well, yes. Similar to, like, mum basically singing was a big one. But so many ways, just, like, having music around the house and listening to all these, like, classics, like, you know, and singers and Romeo, really. Romeo playing guitar and him going, you know, joining the band with Shaw.
Yeah.
And we used to go and watch those guys, and it was like, and then there would be instruments around the house, you know, because we took over our mum and dad's front room.
Yeah, right.
and you know, they put mattress and egg boxes and stuff like that, but me and Romeo would go into the room and, like, you know, record little things and just kind of play music together, but not really saying that we were. And I think it was like that was the key. It was like, because I think as a kid, like, you don't really want to sort of, you're kind of rebelling against things that other people are doing, aren't you?
Yeah.
You want to do your own thing. So I think we kind of did it, but we never sort of said that we were doing it. And like every time he'd leave his guitar, I'd take it.
and take it
to my room and start writing songs with it. And he taught me a couple chords, and, you know, and a few sort of key chords, G, C, and D. And
the big three.
Exactly. That's it, you know, that's all you need. And it was kind of that kind of thing. And I started writing songs really, really young from that. It was writing for me that kind of started. But then, yeah. And he asked me to play bass, and then he kind of, I don't want to go into that.
Okay, so what about the Gannon household? What was going on with you two?
Well, our dad pretty much plays everything as well. And so there'll always be loads of instruments in the house. Never, like... it's kind of like he taught me very little things on the piano, but it was just always like... I was very conscious of, like, every time I had a birthday or Christmas, the one thing he would always buy me would be like a Walkman or a stereo, and it's like, which inevitably either Sean or our other two brother and sister would steal off me. But you don't use it, come on, give it to me.
Fair enough.
But yeah, so it was always there, and I would always be singing, but I guess it wasn't necessarily until I met Romeo and Michelle and her mum that she was actually kind of forced me to sing and I'd have all the lights off.
Yeah.
But I think it's definitely, it's weird because, you know, our dad plays everything and he always says that he can't, and I'm a bit like that as well, although
yeah,
I can't really play anything.
Okay.
I think it's on to Sean.
Yeah, Sean-y.
Get in
well,
there.
I was a drummer before I'd even played drums.
Oh, really?
Because I decided I was going to be a drummer at about the age of 13, 14.
Yeah, sure.
And then, for some reason, there was a talent contest at my school and the drummer had dropped out and everyone heard that I was a drummer even though I hadn't played any drums.
Word
so
gets around.
I found myself on stage in front of 500 people for the first time and not being able to play drums. I managed to get through it, but then that was it really. I've been bitten and still here.
Classic.
Yeah.
That's it.
Baptism of fire.
Yeah, very much so.
That's how I started.
Yeah. Now, did you grow up in similar sort of areas, or were you in, like, different parts of the country?
Well, when we moved from... We were born in Trinidad, myself and Michelle, Trinidad and Tobago, Caribbean.
Right.
Moved to New York, and then we moved to London.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we moved to London, so we went from, like, exotic Caribbean island to New York City, like, this sort of movie, like, you know...
Yeah, wow.
To Hanwell.
Yeah.
In London.
We say London. It's on the edge of London.
It's like, you know, it's kind of like sleepy ass town.
Right on the precipice.
Boondocks, basically.
Yeah, right.
And these cats, but they were there like 5 minutes away.
Around the corner.
So, and the Gannons were my first friends, really.
Ooh.
And still, like.
First and only.
First and only friends.
First and only friends.
So, yeah, beautiful. And then we started playing music together. Like, we kind of, you know, just bonded straight away, really. And,
yeah.
And the two families. And then Michelle and Ange went to the same school.
Yeah, we were like, Michelle's a year above me in school. And
right.
Their younger brother was a year below me, so it was like we became a bit of a trio.
Yeah, right. So, for people who haven't been to that particular part of the world, how would you describe this?
Well, it's fairly famous, actually.
Is that right?
It is where Marshall Amps
famous
was.
Well,
you know.
Well, we've got a claim to fame here.
Facts.
Marshall Amps was
actual
facts. We're born there.
Sort of, Jimi Hendrix bought his first amp when he went to London from a guitar shop around the corner,
now closed,
where, which is closed down now. Charlie Chaplin lived in Hanwell.
Yeah,
wow.
He went to school then. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they invented madness in Hanwell.
Yeah.
And the umbrella.
The umbrella.
Oh, right.
And they still have that.
Yeah.
They very much still embrace that in Hanwell. Yeah.
And also the umbrella, because madness isn't,
the umbrella umbrellas everything.
Oh, God.
It worked out to put madness through.
So was this the kind of thing where, like, everyone that, you know, was into that same sort of stuff, like, kind of bandied together, where it's just like, we have to be friends, we don't have a choice here?
There was an element of that. I think also, if we're being really honest as well, when I met these guys, like, our family, like, the Stoller family, is quite an unorthodox kind of gang of, my mom and dad, like, you know, the house is always a mess, you know, it's like, not your sort of stereotypical kind of family life going
yeah,
on,
yeah.
You know, you go to bed when the fuck you want, whatever the hell, it's like, whatever, but we're kids, you know, but it was beautiful, and I love that about them. And then we met the Gannons around the corner.
And
went round to their house and was like, hold on a second, you know, this looks like
ours. You're like me.
How long's that washing bin there?
Like,
it's like that photo of Spider-Man pointing at himself. It's like, you!
So, and then the love for music, and, you know, we had a lot of things in common and stuff, but that definitely, I think, for me anyway, was almost like a good kind of like, oh, I can kind of breathe a bit here. This is cool. This is
great.
It's a good basis for friendship.
Yeah.
Everyone else around us is fairly square.
Yeah.
Square losers.
Yeah.
And then we're just all a bit fucking weird and messy.
Now, we know the first time you played live. What was the first time that you three played live? Was it the same thing? Like, did you guys have bands before Magic Numbers?
Yeah, well, Sean and I started playing together first, and we were playing together for 10 years before our sisters joined.
Right.
We used to come to all the early gigs. But we were making music at home with them and singing and stuff.
Yeah.
And then we invited you guys to come and join us in our kind of prog kind of phase. We were in a proggy kind of like, every song's 10 minutes, let's wig out.
Life let's get some backing singers.
Life is great.
Yeah, why not?
But let's get, you know, let's do the Pink Floyd moment and like have the gospel singing, you know.
But we were made to stand way in the back of the stage. Next to the stairs.
Yes. And then how's anyone going to see your costumes?
Well, it was all black, you don't need to see it.
Oh, obvious. Theatre black.
Of course.
But but it was amazing instantly, you know.
Yeah.
Like just having that kind of thing.
Yeah. So when was the first time you played live? Like how old were you?
Individually? Or?
Yeah.
I don't know. Sean, how old was I when
you would have been maybe 17?
18, yeah. Okay.
Well, you were probably a bit earlier than that because you came on stage at the...
I was 16 when we did that. It was at Ealing Jazz Festival.
Were you only 16?
Yeah.
The first gig was a jazz festival.
It wasn't jazz. They weren't playing jazz. They call it the jazz festival.
There was
no jazz there. Yeah, it was just a bunch
we of invented
people.
A new jazz that day.
It was the arts festival because that was my first.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
How old was that?
You were probably around 13.
Yeah, 13.
You maybe even younger.
You won a trophy for your first ever.
No.
First ever
what?
Performance.
Yeah. That was the first ever time I went on stage.
That's huge.
It's pretty mad, actually. Yeah.
Award winning. That's nothing short of impressive.
There you go. Still got that baby up there.
So every time she plays now, we give her
award.
Thank you.
I am not playing a note until I see my award.
I don't know what kind of award we're going to give her in Brisbane. We'll think of something.
Yeah, I'll just run down to the trophy store.
And it's now turned into just a vodka. You know?
Yeah. That's all she gets now.
The greatest prize of all.
Yeah.
All right, so let's skip forward. When and where was the first Magic Numbers show?
Well, should we call it when it was just the four of us?
Yeah, it was the four of us. Yeah.
Was it called something different before that?
There was a few other people like involved.
Right.
Like when we first started playing properly, we did actually have like this violin player, and I think we thought she was so amazing that we kind of put all our hopes in her, and then she didn't turn up for one gig and we were like, oh, actually we're pretty good without her. she's great, yeah, but we, you know, we were just kind of like, oh, yeah, in like a sense of relief was
yeah, that we could probably like, do it like, yeah, you know, on our own as well, because also, to be honest, when we started and she was playing as well, it's a lot more sort of acoustic, and it's a lot more sort of folky. And that show that we did without her, because she couldn't make it, was the first time all four of us were on stage, and it did feel like this, like a different thing. We played the songs differently as well, the same songs, but we played them with a bit more like digging in. And,
it was a bit freer as well. Like we could kind of.
But it, you know, I mean, she is amazing, and like plays on the first record.
Yeah.
And like, you know, it's nothing like we didn't. You know, it wasn't like we got rid of her because
she's not going to get shit canned in the memoir. No.
No. She's not going to be called like the violinist.
No,
we will call her
the vile violinist. Yeah. That's a whole chapter. So. We're back. We are literally inside the Triffid now. We just had the awful, awful, horribly rude interruption of a mother and daughter combo. Just being incredibly invasive of the band's privacy.
Oh, it's
ridiculously nice.
Cool.
Two in one night, you're killing it.
Hey, that's why we came to Brisbane.
Hell yeah, exactly. They've been waiting too long, man. Okay, so tell me about the first time Magic Numbers went out on tour.
Well, the first ever time was a tour supporting the Webb Brothers, who we've remained like really amazing friends with.
And yeah, right.
They're in L.A. And their dad, obviously, is Jimmy Webb. Mm. And the crazy thing was my mum, like Michelle and myself, our mum would sing Jimmy Webb songs by the time I get to Phoenix.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Wichita Lyman and stuff like when I was growing up. So for it to come full circle and then be on tour opening up for his son's band and being a big fan of their music as well.
Yeah.
It was pretty amazing. And it was so great because we got to like support them but also be part of their band because they just came out as the Three Brothers.
Oh, right,
so we were kind of backing them as well. So it was like two gigs in one. Cool. And
it was great. It was such a like real bond. Mm. Like, mm-hmm. For the first ever tour, that's kind of what you want, really. Yeah. Like, you kind of hope that for every band you tour with, like, it'd be like this forever bond, like family. Yeah. And with those guys, it was just like amazing.
Yeah. And then also we met our tour manager because he was looking after them, and we actually thought he was because we had someone else looking after us.
Yeah,
a friend of our manager.
He was really boring,
and he was boring. And we were like, hold on, they've got this dude.
This guy is crazy. Is like, we want him.
We want him to be with us when we tour because it's all just a fucking joke.
And that was it.
So that was it. And then, you know, he introduced us to his world of tour.
Yeah, taught us the road.
Taught us the road
and
in
the
his way.
Ensued, you know?
No other tour manager would have taught us that way.
Well, we kind of taught him, to be honest.
Yeah.
We nearly
like,
killed
listen,
him.
We're not going to take any shit from you.
Is that a metaphor? Or?
No. He nearly had a breakdown.
Wow.
We had to get away
from
him.
He did have a breakdown.
We did it.
We broke him. Like,
he's
we break
owning
everyone
that.
Else.
Yeah, you own that shit.
Oh, wow. That's scandalous. That's enough. That's definitely going in the autobiography.
Oh, yeah. Oh man, if we were to write it the way it is, fucking hell.
Yeah. Oh boy.
The way people think it is.
Yeah. How long were you guys playing before you came to Australia for the first time? Obviously,
couple
the first
years,
record had come
couple
out,
of
but
years,
yeah.
Really, yeah. Maybe 2 years.
Yeah, so we As came. Before, yeah. Record came out in 2005.
Mm.
And we came for Big Day Out 2006.
Yeah, which is like start of the year. Yeah,
about 3-4 years. Yeah.
And obviously at that point you'd done a fair bit of touring. Was that the furthest you'd been away from?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, sure. We were like, it was. Well, you can't get any further than Australia from England.
Antarctica, maybe?
Yeah, but no one. Who's going to go to that gig? The Penguins?
Not with that attitude.
You know what I mean? Don't rule it out.
Exactly. If when Metallica can play there, the Magic Numbers can play there. You guys, we're always right next to one another in my iTunes library.
Love
back in the day, so.
That's exactly.
Yeah, we'd love to play with some Penguins.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the dream.
That's the dream. That's absolutely the dream. But yeah, those first few years of touring, obviously, you know, you're kind of learning as you go, like you said. Like, how are you handling that at that kind of age? You know, obviously, you've been playing for a few years. It's one thing to just, you know, be playing around in bedrooms and, like, small gigs at home and stuff like that. But it's another to be, you know, on the other side of the world playing, you know, in the middle of a day in sweltering 40-degree heat in the middle of fucking Australian summer.
Yeah, I mean, it was, we were just, you know...
We're kind of just on a mad roll, really.
Yeah, happy to be there. And also, it was part of the Big Day Out festival, so it was, and everyone was calling it the Big Day Off, because it was one show and 3 days off.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was perfect for us, because, you know...
Is it a wonder it's not around anymore?
Yeah. And I think at that point as well, and with any band, like, who kind of... well, drinking bands or bands that want to have a good time on the road.
Yeah.
The show is one thing, you know what I mean? That, you know, it's the main thing, but all the other stuff is great.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, and if it's just like, you know, this mad journey of, you know, enjoying yourself and being treated well and going to Australia. And, it's living the dream, really.
Yeah. Have you guys navigated that as, you know, like, you've gotten older and obviously there's families involved and things like that. You know, there's other
it's
things
tougher,
that have to kind of take into consideration now.
Yeah, it's trickier, but I think, you know, it definitely has changed in terms of, there was so much going on all the time, and the four of us were together all the time.
Mm. Yeah.
And, you know, obviously there were times we would sit and not say much to each other, because you have to just be like that.
Yeah.
And you're comfortable enough to be in silence and such. But now, like, we see each other as the four of us when there's a tour or when there's gigs, you know?
Yeah.
Because we're doing other things and, like, living our lives. And so it's kind of sad in that
way
that we don't get that thing. But then it makes it more special, I think. And, like, these, since bringing this record out and doing these bits that we've been doing, like,
yeah.
I think the shows have been better. And we appreciate it more as well, because we know that it's a precious thing that we've...
Yeah,
we're like, lucky to be still, like, you know, enjoying it as much as we are, you know?
Yeah, back in those days, we, you know, we kind of, it was, like, so full on, like, bang, 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 bang. I did remember complaining a lot about, like, oh, I'm so tired. Like, kind of, like, you know, we don't really do too much of that anymore. We're just kind of like, oh, wow, we're here, great.
Yeah.
I haven't slept in 3 days, but I don't mind.
You gotta get it all out of your system in your 20s, don't you?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think you could do it any other time. We're all old bastards now.
Yeah, you're either too young or too old at one point or the other. Yeah. Can't be burnt out when you're 19. At what point, like, you know, you were talking about, like, you know, starting out pretty small and just playing little bits and pieces around the place. Like, was there any particular point, like, in those first few years of the band, like, where you felt like, oh shit, like, this is happening, you know? Like, you know, was there any, like moment of, like, playing a festival or getting to travel somewhere, or, like, even, like, meeting somewhere or anything like that, where it's just like, okay, like, it's kind of settling in that this is going to be our lives for at least a little while?
Yeah, I think it was, for me, I would say it was when we did that residency at Borderline, this club in London, where we'd been playing a lot around London, and then we'd booked these, like a show a week for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And, like, the first one we did, they were all sold out. And then all the crowds were just singing every single word. And we were like...
But we hadn't released any rest.
It's fucking,
like,
weird.
But, so it was literally...
But it was,
and
so
was,
cool.
And it was pre, like, internet, like, with, like, uploading songs and MySpace and all that. So it was literally people who had come to see us before... were coming again and again, and by the time this residency came, they knew all the songs and they were singing them, and we were like, holy shit, like, this is there's something going on here, and that's the best moment ever, and that's what you live for, you know, is, like, people, you know, you write these songs in whatever state you're in, vulnerable state, reflective state, whatever, and then you have fun with the band doing, you know what I mean, like, kind of create something as the four of you, and then you go out and you people are singing it. It's pretty crazy, like, you know. So I think that was the moment. But we knew, I think, individually, other than with the Magic Members, I think we all kind of knew we were gravitating towards making music. Really.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
wanted
yeah.
to do that.
Yeah.
You've all probably been asked every sibling related question under the sun.
Come
you know?
On, deliver us a new one.
No, no, yeah, yeah. That's the thing.
It better be a new one. Yeah. If not, this is over.
Yeah. That's the last question.
Oh, no.
No, no, no.
Oh, what is it with you lot walking out on shit?
Hey, could happen again.
I gave you life, I can take it away. But that's the thing, like, there's never any kind of middle ground in that coverage. It's either just, like, the most wholesome thing in the world, or it's the Gallagher brothers, at each other's throats all the time.
Sure,
like, how have you guys found, like, navigating that yourselves?
I mean, it does range from that spectrum.
Yeah.
It is, and everything in between. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's kind of, there's totally all those things that you hear about in this band.
So you have beaten the shit out of Sean.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Multiple fists.
Look at this finger.
Yeah.
Show me your finger there.
Oh,
that's Ange.
Can I add? He was strangling me at the time.
Oh, well, there you go.
Well, there you go.
Self-defense, yeah.
Self-defense.
The defense
self-defense.
Rests.
Well, deservedly so, I was strangling him.
Yeah.
Well, strangle him.
After he got in my bed, fully clothed, after he just got in a bath. Full of water.
Oh, yeah.
Like, get the fuck out of my bed, bitch!
Fucking hell.
Yeah. So there you go.
So,
perfect. That's what that's.
And then I took him to hospital. So you see, it's wholesome still.
Oh, again, we're running the full spectrum.
Exactly,
right there.
You know, it goes right round.
Classic.
He had to drum with that hand for a while.
Oh boy. Yeah. It's been like the guy from Def Leppard.
I had two hands.
Stop, man. Okay.
So
no, it's still there.
Oh no, look, see, he's really sleep deprived.
Oh no,
yeah. No, because he'll just start laughing for about half an hour.
That's going to be the rest of the podcast, yeah. Oh. But yeah, like, with everything that this band has been through, obviously, yeah. Like, you know, for all intents and purposes, you know, apart from the vile violinist, you know, the lineup has stayed the same. You know? And for better or for worse, you know, the four of you have stuck it out this entire time. And, like, what do you feel it is that is what it is about, like, that bond between the four of you that has kind of kept this thing going for, what, 15 years?
Come on, Sean, you answer this.
No, I reckon Sean's got the wisdom on this one. What do you
think? I think he does.
Oh, you think so, eh?
We're just born to do this. And,
bloody hell, he did.
There's not really a plan B for it. And we have got something special, and it's not.
Say that when we break your next finger.
You know, no matter what happens, we know what we've got, and it can't be replicated in any other way than just the four of us. So,
yeah, it would be weird.
Keep strong for that.
Yeah, for sure.
It is, even when we haven't, like, seen, like, we haven't played. Tonight will be our first gig in, what, 4 months or something?
Yeah, wow.
And so. It's just great.
So it should be an interesting show. Yeah. Look out for those brother and sisterly loving looks. Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck is this song?
What key is this in again?
Oh, do you know what? I'm just not going to touch it.
you played it twice.
this one out. I'm just going to turn that baby down.
I can't remember when I come in. What are you talking about? You play the tambourine.
Well, I can always do that. It doesn't matter what fucking key it's in.
Out of key tambourine. That's,
oh, now that's a fucking
level.
New one. Jesus.
It's happened.
That's it. No one told me that.
But yeah, Michelle, what about you? What's your kind of take on the band's survival, for better or for worse, after all this time?
The band's survival?
Yeah, you're still here.
Yeah.
Still says to present on your Wikipedia.
It's true. Yeah. Gotta fucking update that shit.
Include all the merriest times you've wanted to break up the band.
I think, like Sean says, I think it's, you know, some things you can't sort of fight. It's not like an unhealthy relationship. They keep going back to. It's like that kind of, like, there's a comfort there. There's a there's a thing that's, you know these people, and they know you, and it's like there's something safe and
I actually think that there's something
a great place to create.
Yeah,
you know? I think that there's something though, kind of comforting in some of the unhealthy moments where, like, when we lose it at each other or when we, you know what I mean?
Mm. Yeah.
Because it's like,
well, yeah, it means we start talking about shit.
Yeah, we you know,
a
what
lot
mean?
Of things can build up.
We end up resolving a few things, or also we've put, like, all this time. I think bands, you know, it's always amazing. I love watching band documentaries. I think bands, like, you know, whether it's family or not, the dynamic of four or five people or three people doing something for 10, 15, 20 years.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're sharing all these things, and they're growing up, and they're having their own, growing up together, but they're having other lives outside. They're coming back, they're going in. You know what I mean? And it's like, it's a trip, man. It's a trip, dude.
Actually, speaking of trip, I was really watching The Long Strange Trip.
Yeah, the Grateful Dead thing. Yeah, it's freaking great.
It's fucking cool as fuck.
But you know, like,
they're
crazy
bastards.
Oh yeah.
I think it's interesting as well, like, seeing, as I'm sure each one of us, like, where I see Ange or Sean or Michelle, you know what I mean?
Mm.
And there's, we have there's issues there. There's stuff going on between all of us, you know. There's shit. There's
yeah.
like...
Yeah. I mean, you don't know someone for so long and have no problems with each other whatsoever. Yeah. It's always something.
Plus, I think touring is one of those places. It's, I don't think you really fully understand it unless you're in this, like, weird...
Yeah.
Because it is. It's a whole... Mm-hmm. It's a whole head fuck, like it, in so many levels. Like, you know, so I think it's the place where you actually really truly get to know someone. Like, and
I also find interviews to be like being on a couch.
It is. It's therapeutic.
So I think this one has been.
This is our little.
It's like a counselling session. Thanks for that, man.
Sometimes I really don't find it like being on
a mini some kind of monster going on.
As soon as we're done, we all just start screaming fuck at each other. I would say delete that.
Yes! Delete. Oh man, it's the best moment.
Right?
Yeah. Actually, it always replays in my head.
Yeah.
Delete that.
Delete that. Oh, I think
what dark is that, man?
We all need to delete that moment sometimes, I think.
Yeah.
Whether it's from Lars Ulrich's dad or someone else, we all need to delete that moment. On that note, we will wrap it up here, but before we do that, I ask this of all of my guests, and now it is your turn, Magic Numbers. I want to know about the best and worst shows that you have ever played in your entire lives. God. You can start on either or, so you can start with a searing high and end with a crushing low, or you can flip the script and have a happy ending, so... It's up to the four of you. Mm. You can all go on an individual basis because I know for a fact...
It's going
to
be different.
Everyone will have a different one. It always happens.
I think the best show, probably Glastonbury John Peel 10.
Mm.
Because I lost my voice. Like, I didn't think I was going to be able to sing.
Yeah.
And some mad thing happened where, like, I just... We had to do the show.
Yeah, obviously.
And I went up and like... And then I was able to sing, but then everybody's singing, and the album had just come out, and I couldn't believe I'd been to Glastonbury loads of times.
Yeah, yeah.
So I couldn't believe how many people like in the tent and spilling outside, and so that was kind of a moment of like, and I was in tears on stage for that. So that was kind of an emotional one for me, personally one. And then the worst ever time on stage doing a gig was. They all kind of, even the shit ones are kind of funny because they're so shit. You know what I mean? But probably that one in my own thing as well, like going through a tough time.
Mm.
So maybe that show in Lille in France.
Where
me and you actually had a fight on stage.
Oh, God, yeah.
But it's still kind of funny actually now when you think back. No. In the Is moment it was like, no! But then you think back now, you're like, shit, he did that.
It's the festoon.
No. That was when we fell out on stage.
Yeah, we had an argument backstage, and then we went back on to finish the show.
Would that be yours worst as well?
No. but I have a few like that. For me, it'd be like where I've royally fucked up. Like, where I just like cannot fucking remember the fucking notes.
Yeah.
And I'm just watching my hand, just like, what the fuck are you doing? And it's just like, everyone's going, where is E? And I'm just like, where the fuck is E? And it's one of those. And I think it would probably be, like, wasted, you know, like, just kind of maybe drank or smoked too much or something like that. And you're just I can't even remember that gig. But one of those. I remember we had a really bad one at Cherry Jam.
Well, that was very early on, wasn't it? Yeah.
That was rubbish.
But that was up there. But it was quite funny as well.
Yeah.
Each one of us. But the best gig, I think, just in terms of like a moment, we played Eden Project, which was an amazing moment.
Yeah.
And I had loads going on at that time as well. You know, and it just sort of like looking out on stage and just realizing how kind of big that we had kind of become in a way.
Yeah.
Kind of, and I was just like, whoa, this is... I hope we're prepared for this kind of thing. freaked me out. I don't think we were.
Yeah. I don't mean to put the pressure on, but I have been given the wrap-up signal by the tour.
I would say one of my favourite ones was when we played Royal Festival Hall. Kind of rearranged a lot of the songs around our string arranger, Robert Kirby, and he kind of did a lot of the... He kind of rearranged some songs and made... We sang to just some strings, and it was really, it was really special, and it was just like... And he was a real special guy. And then it was... It was like maybe a couple of years later that he died, and it was like... I'm just really glad that we got to do stuff like that with him. Lowe's, I think, maybe it was like the first time we played Japan.
Oh, really? Yeah.
And, you know, just, it was really bad. We had no interpreter and no sound people. And trying to tell a guy that doesn't understand whatever the fuck you're saying that you need more vocal and you're getting more fucking kick drums. It's real bad,
just
bad
pointing
time.
Up or
and
down,
you're playing a fucking huge tent the first time in Japan, and you haven't slept. And you're like, well, I don't like this gig. I don't like it. There you go.
I don't like it.
I don't like it.
That'll do.
Sean,
that'll
do it quick.
That'll do it, mate.
All right, well, Magic Numbers, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Very much appreciate it.
Cool, man. Nice one.
That's a lot.
So there you have it, the Magic Numbers on this week's episode of All My Friends Are in Bar Bands. Again, I'm so sorry, Sean. Really, really appreciate the time that all four of them took out to chat with me. Really appreciate it. Thank you so much to the Triffid for having us. Thanks again to John Larney and Adam Buncher for their assistance in making this episode happen. And thanks to you for listening. I didn't get a chance to do this in the actual podcast, so I'm going to do it now, just in case you forgot. I'm David James Young, and all my friends are in bar bands.